Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Ask Tall Paul Radio Show. This is Tall Paul coming to you live from San Marcos, California, and I have my good friend Joey D'Elia on the line. How are you, Joey?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
Pretty good. So in case everyone didn't know, I've been trying to transition and move to Joey's permaculture demonstration site here, Tipuana Farm, and I'm officially moved in. Thank goodness.
Finally, there was a lot of getting ready for that.
Oh my gosh, and delays, but anyway, the time is perfect, and it's incredible living the farm life and with roosters and all. My good buddy's a rooster. Every day, I think they're excited that I'm here because when I first got here, they started to crow at 2:45 in the morning, and then now they're beginning to crow at 1:30 in the morning. So I'm just so grateful that they're here. The neighbor has about 6 roosters, and they just are excited that I'm here.
Yeah, they sounds like they want to keep you up.
Definitely. But part of this whole thing is, for me, is like I wanted, like I have 2 cats, and I wanted the cats to be cats, because they were, you know, before indoor cats, and they weren't really free to be cats. They could see the birds outside. They could, you know, hear the birds and all that, but they're never really free to go and do their own thing. So now we're transitioning them out into the country life, and, you know, it's different for them, but I think they're really going to enjoy it. And so when I think of the roosters, I say I want the roosters to be roosters because I'm going to be me. And I think that's what's great about being out here, is that we're creating an environment where we're building like a forest, where a forest can be a forest, and we don't have to, you know, like use manufactured products to make it. We're just trying to go the natural route.
Yeah, we're trying to work on building the demonstration and transitioning from our previous lifestyles and moving in a holistic kind of comfortable way, not too shocking of a difference, but the roosters can be shocking, but we're definitely moving towards not having so many processed goods and trying to think about how much, you know, fuel we use in all these vehicles and things like that, and why we're using the vehicles, and you just start thinking about, I think, what's leading in. I think you end up looking at all these things with these ethical ideas, which is something trying to form some quick and easy ethics to help you orientate yourself when you're making this transition from previous lifestyles and habits and things, and when you're looking at permaculture, you start to look at some of the 3 ethics that are kind of the beginning guiding force or kind of guidelines to help make all these decisions, like Paul's decision to move here to the farm versus to stay in his house.
Right. It doesn't really make sense for me, for one person, to be living in a house with 3 bedrooms where it could be better utilized with a family, and, you know, just doesn't really make sense why one person needs so much excess and all my goods and things. So now this, one of the ethics is return of surplus. You know, I had a lot of things that I personally use maybe once a year or maybe every 3 years, who knows, but here on the farm, we could put it to better use where, you know, if someone needs what I have, they're welcome to use it. And it really is a good feeling to be able to lighten the load and to just allow my surplus to be part of the other people who might need it.
Yeah, and it's been really cool, and that's what's been fun about some. We've had another family also move here onto the farm, and they're young and excited, and they have their surpluses, and then we have our community forming where we're working together. And when you start looking at these things, and you start thinking about how we all interact and what things we have to share and what surplus things of energy or ideas or help or time or actual material goods we have to share with each other, that surplus. And the beginning part of and a good thing to think about when you're thinking about permaculture design, because what we're having here is basically we're going to have a discussion on permaculture design, and it not just in your garden or for your house or for your food forest or your water harvesting, your permaculture design in your way of life or organizing your life. And when you look at the how to do that in okay, so you say you're looking at the book of permaculture design and the Bill Mollison's permaculture handbook or any of the other permaculture books out there, when you have all these ideas about your garden, about your water harvesting, and about your food forest, like I was saying, and things like that, or the weather patterns and these different things like that. But what we're looking at right now is the design science of your life and how you make decisions and how they relate to all those different physical things, water harvesting, where you live, what you do, all these different things. And so you start to look at the ethics, the three ethics that Bill Mollison and David Holmgren came up with in the beginning when they were starting to hash out permaculture as a like solidified kind of idea and as a design science. And then what you have is you have the three ethics, which is earth care, people care, and return of surplus. And those three ethics can be used to kind of help make decisions in your life. And the kind of decisions we started out talking about, like where to live, how to live, what to grow. I mean, it extends out, and you refer to those ethics to help start to guide you in your decision-making process to utilize permaculture design efficiently when you're looking at designing anything, whether it's your lifestyle, your living situation, your garden situation. You start to look at that first ethic and see how it applies, and then you can really look at it when you're talking about your life, and you think about earth care as that first ethic. And where can that apply? Well, you know, when you start to think about it and think about that ethic and like connect it with a lot of the decisions you make or the places you live or the places you're going to go or what you're going to do with your yard or with a lot of extra things you have that you may not use that much. You kind of refer, well, how does this relate to earth care? Or how can it, in an essence, how can this relate to caring for the earth? And maybe that means driving less. Or maybe that means trying to reclaim more lumber if you build projects or get more goods or go to the thrift store. Because as you use less energy, there's a less of a burden on natural resources, whether it be oil to produce electricity or to produce fuel for your cars, or, oh gosh, it just goes on and on, the connections there. So when you can repurpose things, reuse things, move to a smaller place, move closer to something else that may be further away, and you start to look at that ethic of earth care, and they really help guide you in a simple way. You can, when you get it down to those three, It definitely helps, and that's what the idea of design science does, especially permaculture design science. It starts to make this whole event called life start to be ideally a more understandable pattern, and to get something going like that. What do you think, Paul?
Well, what's really interesting is that, you know, as a design science, that it was clearly not just a method of gardening. It is more than that. And because they've introduced these ethics, so the first is care of the earth. And care is not only, like, to me, when I think of it, it's not just what can I do to, you know, stop the former patterns that I was participating in because of our culture, you know, and the, you know, using plastic packaging and all these different things, which, you know, aren't so good for the earth, but also that word care. So earth care, or care for the earth, that's also, to me, has a connotation of nurturing. So like you care for a sick child, you care for, you know, your family. And, you know, so there's a little more than just stop doing something. It's more of like put energy back into it, or to give of yourself in a way that you normally, you know, wouldn't. So I really like that dimension as well, because I care about people. I do care. And the earth, you know, caring of the earth, I don't know if I had such an awareness. I think I was just, you know, you buy things and they were available. You didn't quite think twice about it. But now that I am involved with permaculture, and even before, but, you know, as I began to look at, you know, what's happening because of our culture and our consumerism, now before I purchase something, I have to think, well, is it helping? Is it caring for the earth? And I might not be ready yet to give up something, or there might not be a replacement yet for this item, which for some reason, like here we are using technology, you know, the computers. I don't know if that's quite, you know, a good sustainable. There might be non-sustainable practices in making these computers, but right now I kind of need it to have this radio show. We don't have permaculture computers yet.
That's true. We don't have permaculture computers, and so we have to ask.
We can work towards that.
We can work towards that, and we can work towards balancing our lives where we make we're making a decision to use something that, like these computer systems, and what are we using them for? And we try to understand we're using them for this, and then maybe somewhere else in our lives we do a little something extra to balance that usage out, where maybe we don't buying so much food from the grocery store anymore. We're getting more of it out of our gardens. And so we keep trying to do a little bit of an energy audit and be conscious. And I like to say this a lot. This is it's like a design science of becoming conscious of what we're doing, of what our actions are, and taking account for them, not tearing ourselves apart, because it gets hard to do a lot of things if you're constantly tearing yourself apart for all the, you know, negative decisions you're making, or the things you're not doing yet or you haven't attained. So I like to remember that this is us becoming conscious of what we're doing, and we may be doing things that we could do better, or, you know, we can do all these other things, but we need to take this time and do it methodically and keep making that progress forward and referring to those ethics to guide some, you know, just remembering, so we can start training our decision-making process, because that's what we're really doing. And if you think about it deeply, it's not just something you can just change. Sometimes it's like eating habits. Sometimes you just can't change your eating habits in like a little bit of time. Those things, a lot of them we were born with those systems. We were born with those conditionings. We were born that way and lived that way for many, many years. And that was, you know, our experience. So being patient with yourself it can be a hard thing, but it's something
I love that. And
that's important.
Yeah, because be patient with yourself, be gentle with yourself, and know that you're doing what you can to participate in creating a better earth. And what I don't like are people that are bullies, people that are, you know, force things at you, and they might not know your situation or whatever. We do need leaders, absolutely, and we each have a part in bringing awareness not only to ourselves, but I think the best way to be a leader is to lead by example. So rather than, you know, force something on people and be preachy, that's a great way to turn people away. But if you say, well, come and see what we're doing, then they get ideas. Like, we just had a tour this last weekend, and, you know, I thought we had very positive feedback, and people were just excited to see that, wow, you know, I could do that at my house, or, you know, just like building that awareness of what can be done, and you can pick and choose. Oh, I really like the way Joey did this, and, you know, I don't think I could do that at my house, but, you know, it might get your brain thinking about, well, what could work at my house, you know? So,
there's a big part of that is that second ethic when we start moving into it and talking about people care, and everything you do to take care of the earth and to start thinking about these things, because remember, we're changing the way our minds work. I mean, deep down in there, I'm not a neuroscientist or, you know, neurologist guy or anything, but there's pathways in our brains that those neural pathways are formed. And on some level, we've got to change those. And it's possible. They know now that they've found, you know, they've studied enough now where they understand that those patterns can change. You can sever those synapses, those connections there, and repattern your brain. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of practice, but it's possible, and that's what this is. This design science of permaculture is becomes a practice to practice decision making, and on all levels, like we said back in the beginning, whether it's your garden, your life, your spouse, how you treat your children, all these different, how you treat your friends, how you make friends, you're repatterning your brain to create a system that refers to those three ethics, where you're going, well, how's this with the earth care? How's this with people care? And how is surplus being returned? How are we, you know, wasting things? You know, are we sharing things? Or, you know, there are a lot of different aspects in return of surplus, but when you're thinking about people and you're thinking about people care, you take care of the earth, you're inevitably taking care of people. You just are, because people don't live in these bodies here on earth without the earth. The earth dies and falls apart and can only support so much life. Well, most of the people around you die, and you die too. So that earth care is very related to people care, and that's what's really nice about and interesting about these ethics. They're intimately related, like a natural system is. And natural systems are super diverse, but you start to lose that diversity, and the system starts to decline and lose its vitality. So the ethics are together, and they work real well. They work amazingly together. And if you lose one, it doesn't really work. You really can't have people care. You can't really take care of people without taking care of the earth. And then you can't really take care of the earth unless you're taking care of people, because people at this point now really start are really a big part of taking care of the earth and not doing any more and more destruction. So, and then you have a return of surplus, which part of taking care of people and taking care of the earth is taking surpluses and returning them to the first two ethics. So returning them to people, whether the surplus is for a person or whether the surplus is directly for the earth, which could be soil organisms, the trees themselves, the plants themselves. You may return a surplus from one area, which could be horse manure or something. You turn it into compost, or you just apply it directly to the soil. Well, you didn't give that surplus to people. You gave it. You put it back. You put it in another way. You took that surplus and put it back to the first ethic in earth care. And then you may get a bunch of food from the earth, and you have a surplus of food. Now you give that surplus, and you share that surplus of food with people, and now you've returned that surplus back to the second ethic, which is people. And inevitably, once you're feeding the people become happier, and they feel better, and then they start to be healthier and happier, and their minds are more positive, and then they can take care of the earth better, and then it keeps going back and forth, until this amazing spider web is created. And in that spider web is that strength. And that's what we're looking for when we start to design, permaculturally designed systems, and how those ethics, those three ethics fit in so intensely into, really good permaculture design systems. So, I mean, that's something that I think about.
Well, when I look at the science behind it, I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's like, wow, of course, that makes so much sense, and it's logical, it's scientific. The part that I'm most impressed with is the people aspect of it, because, I have an interesting background, and I've worked with the homeless for over 25 years, and, there's a lot of very good people out there, a lot of people that work with the homeless, and, they're people volunteer in all different types of communities, but this is the one community, this permaculture community, where the willingness and the synergy, the attitudes, the complete openness to learn and to come together. And I mean, it's just so incredible to see, like, how everyone, when they come, it's like a group mindset. Everyone wants to take care of the earth. They all want to do it together, and they're so generous with their time and their energy, which is that third ethic, the return of the surplus. Because one weekend we go to one person's house and we help them put in a raised bed, and this last weekend a group came and they were putting a drain, what was it, a gray water system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many people were helping on that project?
Well, there was like five helping, and then there was me and
completely not getting paid. It was a learning opportunity for them, but they were still just like, how can I help?
Well, I was there was an old dude there, and a nice guy that's come to our Permaculture San Marcos group, and he actually has a whole branched gray water drain system at his house, and so when we were putting this one in, he was actually sharing knowledge. He had already done this all at his house. He wasn't he wasn't learning anything doing this. He was actually talking about some different ideas and different things he had done at his house. And I learned stuff from him, and it was cool. And the women that were helping, There weren't any young women there. The younger women ran off. Well, I don't know, maybe to go do some other things somewhere else. But the older women stayed, and they were doing the digging and really taking charge of the project. And it was great.
Well, that's another thing of the women. another project I went to, I just could not believe this one woman. She was just, give me that shovel. And she got in there and was, I mean, all day long, fully, you know, just so into it and, like, such a hard, hard worker. And that's something I want to, you know, on my this radio show, I'd like to invite any permaculture women, the leaders who are out there and, you know, who are trying to make a difference, please email me at asktallpaul@gmail.com. I'd love for you to be on my show. I'd love to highlight what you're doing because you absolutely have a role here. We hear a lot from the men, but we need more women to have a voice, all right? So please contact me at asktallpaul@gmail.com, all right?
That's great because when you're talking about it, I'm thinking, I'm like surprised that the women were there, but in cultures all over the world, women do most of the work, and in my business or in my little world that I have landscaping and tree care and these different things, you just see men, so you don't get to see women. So when you work like working like that with, you know, but they're totally doing it everywhere and they're super strong. And it's so, you know, even thinking about it right now, like actually pondering it, I think about my mom. She was the one always doing the work in the yard at my house when I was a kid. She's out there with the pick, with the shovel, digging all the time. And permaculture is really cool like that.
Well, and even Jeff Lawton's wife, you know, she's so involved and, you know, makes decisions with Jeff and, you know, Nadia. And I just think that it's even here, like your wife, Robbie Jean, she's a co-partner in this. And together you make decisions on, you know, like forming the nonprofits, you know, we're working on two different nonprofit situations, and you know that is important. Everyone has a role, and it's just a matter of doing it. And with this is a common theme that we're starting to hear on the different permaculture podcasts. There's a new one that Diego Footer with permaculturevoices.com just released. He had Joey on. And Joey's message was, listen, we need the leaders to step forward. There's so many people that have taken the PDC courses, which is great, but now we need to go forward and actually take the knowledge and do it. Now, again, Joey's message is, yes, a lot of people have, you know, Monday through Friday jobs or even more, two jobs, and you can only do what you can do. There's only so much time in a day. But I think we're calling for action now, and it's even if it's just at your own home, and it's looking at these three ethics, am I doing my part to take care of the earth? And if you don't know what that means, call in. We have a guest on the line. If you have a question, go ahead and call in. Our number is 347-838-9986, or you can type in the chat room. Or you can email me at asktallpaul@gmail.com. Any questions, we could feature them on the show upcoming. So if you need specifics, we can talk specifics. Am I doing my part to take care of people? Am I a nice person or am I a bully? You know, that's the word I used earlier. But anyway, go ahead.
I was just thinking, what if a person, or myself sometimes, what if I can't satisfy what if I feel like I'm not satisfying the first ethic, or the second, or something in that realm, and all I feel like, what could I do to make a step forward? And say I'm not very sociable, so I don't feel like I can really socialize real well with the people in these groups. Or I'm not, and I think this goes back to what you're able to do, but also, you know, just if we're just looking at the ethics themselves, is maybe all we're able to do right then is to re- to return some of our surplus. And what I'm getting at, and what I think is this is what's interesting about the ethics themselves and permaculture design, and this whole the whole part of it, this holistic view of it, is if you only can just touch and you say, oh, one ethic, okay, let's return a surplus. Oh, and then you go give some stuff, something, some extra stuff, or say you're a gardener at your house or something, and you're not, and you give something to a local group, or you just start, or to your neighbor who you know is a could use something. Maybe the neighbor's a gardener, or these types of things. There's a lot of scenarios here, but I'm just putting something out there. Is you start somewhere, and if you start with these ethics, it's a really good base. And if you can look at them or look at one, and maybe you don't have anything that you would think of as surplus, whatever, but you figure out a way to take care of people. But and what happens is you start to realize, well, I do have something that I didn't know I had. And there's self-worth there. And when we look at that, that's very important, because sometimes I feel I can get depressed. And I know that lots of people out there feel like this sometimes. And since I'm practicing permaculture, and a lot of my friends are, and I look at the world through this lens as a way of helping. And when you start to practice those ethics and you just start to take baby steps, it starts to begins an introspection time also. Even if you're not thinking about how can I take care of the earth and I'm destroying it or whatever, you're taking a more relaxed approach, and you're just like, well, how can I, maybe there's something I can do. I want to do something. And then you look at those ethics, just because they're like the first starting point, especially in the Permaculture Design Manual by Bill Mollison. It's the first thing they talk about. You look at them, and there's a little place. In that little step of even looking at them and starting to think about them, and then maybe even actually doing something physically, you make a step, and that step puts you in a different place, and you start to realize things about yourself and about the world you live in. And let's say for instance you're reaching out and you want to go to a group, and you go to a group, and all of a sudden you meet really nice people. Let's say this is a permaculture group or a gardening group, because there's lots of, and you meet these nice people, and like Paul said, we went to somebody's house, and you go with them. You go with the group, and you get there, and you work, you use some of your labor, but you really didn't ever do that before. You've just done something amazing. You actually went and helped somebody, and you just satisfied all three ethics. And if you're thinking about it like that, because you're starting to study this, and you're starting to change your mind, you get introspective there. You just went and labored with no expecting payment. Nobody said they're going to give you anything. You went, and now somebody may give you a hug because they're so happy you came over and helped. Or what can happen, the possibilities become infinite. And I mean, it's like so many different things that could go on with that situation where maybe you weren't even, maybe you went there and you weren't even able to do physical labor because there's something wrong, but you thought, well, I can take some refreshments for everybody. You could do that. And
well, yeah, like just the other day, Joey was out there with our friend Raul, and I think a third person. Yeah, Jet was there.
Right.
And they're working in the hot sun, and they were working for hours. And I'm like, well, I can't be out there in that heat. It's because I have a condition that's not good for that. But what I said, I'm like, well, I could bring them some water. And weren't you kind of grateful?
Oh, well, we were super grateful. I especially was because I just don't stop.
Yeah.
And I don't take care of myself.
And then not only did I do it once, I went right back because they wanted more. So I brought them another round of water. And, you know, I just, it felt good to do that. And I felt bad before because I'm not out there helping them with this building. I don't know if they want me to build because I think they want the structure to remain solid. You know, but I think that water really did feel good. I mean, for all of us, didn't it? I mean, for me it did.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was much needed, and I definitely just don't even take the time to go get it. And that was those examples, once you and that's the beauty of starting. You know, starting it and doing it, there's just Paul was going through a process of thinking, well, what can I do?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's these processes and these is what's the greatest thing. And they start with the ethics, because that's where this process, because if...
Uh-oh.
Any kind of design that you have going on, let's move it into the realm of your garden. Now that we've had it in the people realm, and we have it in the earth realm. Well, you have your garden, and you start to, there's ethics. Those three ethics can be used in deciding a lot of things about your garden. You know, what kind of fertilizer are you going to use? Can you can look to those ethics, where you're going to get materials that are going to go into your garden, you know, can be related to the first ethic. So, and then so forth and so on to all three.
Well, and for me, when I work in my garden, I'm purposefully, number two is so important for me. I mean, like, what can I grow so that other people, because in my mind, it's like, well, if they could just taste real food and, you know, and see the abundance. Like when they come over this last week, and you know, I've been moving out, and I had like six painters there. I had, you know, just all these people at my house that had never been there before. So I introduced maybe, I would say, 12 new people to growing food, growing tomatoes, you know, all this stuff. And it was, sent everybody home, everybody with food. And I just think that's helping to expose people to permaculture, but it's that second ethic, caring of the people. And that's going to help with all three. Again, it's just all three ethics.
Yeah, and we could go through, and that's the beauty of this thing. And this, so because we can go through to our water. Water can be looked at with those three ethics. You can apply and you say, what? What do you mean ethics and water? Well, that seems, well, water is how humans survive. They don't have water, they don't live for very long. Without food, they can live for a pretty long time. But without water, humans don't survive. So providing water for humans is caring for them. You know, your people care has to do with water, like how you're going to use it. And if you have a surplus of water, you can always share it, or you can always give it back to the earth. And that's when we start to look at water harvesting. And you can look at water harvesting with these three ethics, because you start thinking about water and the necessity of water, where your water comes from. I think we did a radio show kind of talking about that. I think it's one of the first ones.
Yeah.
We were talking about water, but we didn't really hit on the big ethical thing here, but it applies so much to all these different elements, especially water. And you look at it and you go, well, okay, this water is running down this driveway. Let's just move it here. Let's take it. Let's get it personal here. We moved onto this property. We bought it. There was water just rushing down the side of the driveway, forming this giant rut. And I thought, well, what's my first duty? And for me, is thinking about earth care, and water's a big deal for plants. And plants, we grow plants lots of times to make food, ideally, to support humans. And my idea was, oh, how can I take care of that element? How can I really utilize water? That much water that's just running down and making a rut down the driveway and just going off and flooding this one area of the seasonal creek and just taking tons of debris and sediment with it. How can I put that into a more passive path, harvest that water, put it into the soil, you know, put it through a lot of different motions and pacify it at the same time, and utilize it for a lot of different things. Can I satisfy three? Could in doing anything with that water? Can I satisfy or look at those three ethics? Well, yeah, I can start to take care of the earth when I start to just thinking about it. Like I always go back to, and I think this is becoming a constant with me now, is this thinking process, just thinking about it. Yeah, okay, if I put it, let's say for instance what we did here is we put it in a swale. We diverted it and had it, we didn't really divert it, we just opened up one area and it went into the swale. And from going into that swale, we now harvest, you know, at the minimum each winter 15,000 gallons of water that normally just ripped down the side of the driveway. Now, there's some... That's some care. That's some earth care there. That's a satisfaction. You know, we're satisfying that first ethic. Well, with that water, I started growing trees. Well, some of those trees are going to return their surplus. Nitrogen fixers and hardy specimen trees are going to be returning their surplus to the soil, which is leaves and nitrogen, and making biomass for other organisms to live. They're going to return that surplus to the soil. And then we also have some fruit trees. And those fruit trees will be returning some of their surplus of fruit to us, and which will be taken. And then there's people involved. The people will be eating the fruit and enjoying the wildlife and the different, and just the beauty, just the sheer beauty of the plants growing, will be that. So you start satisfying that, those ethics, and you start looking at all your mind changes, your view changes, the way you look at life changes, and you start to be able to build a community. And that's what's important about the three ethics. When you start really focusing on them and understanding how the key role they play in all the different decisions you're making, you start, that is how a strong community is built. And that's what we're talking about. When we say permaculture, that's permanent culture. Those two words combined, permaculture, permanent culture. Permanent cultures aren't just come willy-nilly. They come with some real directives, some ethics, and some, you know, beautiful practices. So that's what we're talking about when we start really applying those three ethics. You start moving into the realm of building a really strong community. Now, you talk about a community that takes care of the earth, that takes care of the people and returns surplus. Super simple, but very strong, very rooted, just like a forest system, just like a native system that's very rooted and strong. Looks almost very simple, but because it's simplistic in its beauty. But within it, there's a strong web of complex interconnections. Everything's always interconnected, just like these three ethics when we were talking about them being connected. And they start connecting with all of our decision-making processes. That complexity and of beautiful intricacy starts building that amazing base for human relations and human communities. Because that's what we're going to, you know, inevitably that's what the goal is to build those strong communities of people where they're really practicing practicing their different religions. Good. That's beautiful. Let that thrive. And remember, care of earth, care of people, and return of surplus. So you can do it all and build a healthy community just remembering to apply those ethics. I mean, you couldn't... I don't know. What do you think, Paul? I think it's related to community. I want to see what you think.
Well, absolutely. I think that we're not asking people to deprive yourself of anything. We're actually trying to help you live with abundance and in abundance. It's a mindset, and you're trying to. So, like for me, you were mentioning water. You know, that was something that I knew I could do. I mean, I could just look at my previous water habits, and so at my old house that I just moved from, you know, I had a lot of fruit trees, which require water. But my water bill is like, I don't know, I haven't compared, but I would imagine like three times less than the average household. And it's not because it's just one person living there. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for me to need water. But you know what? The trees find the water if they can, and if you're planting the right types of trees in your area. So what I made a personal commitment to was, you know, taking shorter showers and, you know, not running the water while I'm brushing my teeth. I mean, that one thing alone can save a lot of water. You just, you know, get the water you need to get started, turn off the water, and then when you're done, rinse your mouth. Or like when you're getting the water, you know, if you want to collect the water as you're starting to take a shower, you know, you can have a bucket in your shower. Or, you know, so when I first moved the house, I had the low-flow toilets installed. Now, there was money involved. I had to pay for that. You might not be in that situation where you could do that. But, you know, there are things you can do. The next thing I did, you know, I made sure all the shower heads were low flow shower heads. Eventually, one of my best and favorite things I did was install a water catchment system. There are, I bought two 865 gallon water tanks that are connected, and it harvests the water from the roof. And this is in the city. It's not out in the country. It's totally, you know, a normal household. And I literally installed it on a Friday. It rained overnight, and I collected at least, I'd say, one full tank, so 865 gallons of water. And that's a lot in San Diego. I mean, we don't get a lot of rain. And so I felt so good. It's like, wow, I'm doing my part. Well, now that I've moved here to the farm, I feel even better. Because you know what? My showers, which I thought were short, they're really short now because I'm living in a trailer and it's just a different water situation. I really have to think about how much water and, you know, do I really need that extra little comfort? Oh, just one more second of, you know, that hot water. And I feel great. I feel great that I'm doing it. And so we're not asking, like I said, I'm not asking you to deprive yourself. It's the joy that I'm receiving from actually finding new ways to use the water wisely. Is that joy is far replacing any sacrifice that I'm making. I feel great. And, you know, I'm sure there's more I can learn. So just be, like we were saying, just build an awareness when you're making decisions in your life. What's my part? Am I thinking wisely about the earth? Am I taking care of the earth? Am I taking care of people? And any surplus you have, what am I doing with it? Am I just letting it rot? You know, let's say you have a lemon tree or an orange tree out in your yard. I guarantee you there's no way as a family, even one family, you cannot eat all those oranges. You can't eat all those lemons. You know that they're dropping on the ground. Go and collect them. Have the kids make a lemonade stand, you know, and sell lemonade. We're not asking you to get rid of or, you know, give everything away for free. If you want to be a businessman, that's fine, business person. But don't let it just rot on the ground. If it has a use, make sure you're using it. And again, that's part of the stacking of functions too. So like, you might think, well, I bought it for this reason, but maybe you could use something for other reasons too. And again, it's part of the people. So Joey, you asked me, is the community involved? I mean, absolutely. This whole thing is all about community. It's like, instead of just being you, how does it affect my family? Am I making the right decisions for my family? And then am I making the right decisions for my next door neighbor? Or what about my neighborhood or my city, my county, my region, my state, you know, and ultimately the earth?
Well, and while you were talking, I started to think about one thing that I wanted to bring up. When our brains work different than each other's, than our friends, or everybody's brain works a little bit different. So the amazing ideas that can come out of how to apply each ethic or it can be amazing. One, for instance, when I'm thinking about return of surplus, I think about that one a lot because the other ones seem kind of straightforward at times, but I know there's so many more levels that you can be put on it because it's rather infinite, I believe. But when you return a surplus, oftentimes just seems like something that a person has that shares with another person. Oftentimes, it's kind of how we that can be thought about it. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, if I have this, I can give it away. Or if I have a lot of food, I can give it away. The point I'm trying to make is when I'm thinking about the surplus part of it, for me, I think about plants and not what they're going to give me. So, like, how can return of surplus be related where it's not me handing over something to another human? How can I, what other possibilities are there? And the one that I like, and this is me practicing. I've been practicing trying to think about that ethic in particular in a different way and see how it relates to the other two. But I plant a lot of these nitrogen fixing plants, or even a even another one that I just thought of when I started thinking about this. I was thinking about just plants and how they go together and how plants can just return things to the soil, to birds, to insects, to soil organisms, and they're not producing any fruit, per se, for me to eat. They're doing all these other hosts of things, which in the end relate to soil fertility, but mulch. I don't eat anything. Mulch is not even essentially growing like out of the ground like a plant is or anything like that, but just applying mulch, there's a surplus of mulch that I receive, or other people receive, or whatever, but you're just putting it down, and putting it on the ground, because there's just this so much of it in where I'm living. And how is that surplus, you know, related? What does it do? And there's so many other ways that that you start thinking about surplus and thinking about, well, at least this is my little thing I've been thinking about, is how that works. And when just the other day there's a bunch of weeds growing. Well, I let the weeds go to seed, and I cut the tops of the weeds off, and then I gave them to the chickens, and the chickens ate them. Well, I didn't know. I mean, I just returned some weeds that grew. The surplus of the weeds went to the chickens, and then the chickens end up feeding us eggs, and all the other things chickens do in the yard and pooping and all these different things. And then the weed seeds went to make chicken manure and went to make eggs. And how, when you start connecting, I think part of the ethics too take you into like I was saying about introspection, but start to take you to look at other connections you may have not realized. As I'm thinking about when I looked at the plant, I thought about the third ethic. I thought, well, how can this is like surplus. I didn't do anything to grow this weed. It did it all by itself. Well, how could I apply that than just going, these weeds, and cutting them down and going, they'll just be mulch. There's got to be, there could be something else. There could be something else I could do with them. So, the way I was thinking about that is in that way. So it broke me out of it allowed me to go into a different, just pondering it like that was helpful, and it gave me a new way to use the plant that I hadn't really thought about. It was fun for me.
Okay, well, we're down to 2 minutes left, and I think we've pretty much covered the three ethics. I mean, as far as like helping to build your awareness, so the three ethics again are care of the earth, care of people, and return of surplus. And you use these ethics before you start building your systems and designing your systems, because you might have a surplus of something that you could build into that design. All right. So start with that, build an awareness, and be gentle on yourself. And, you know, you'll see what we're talking about. As time progresses, it's going to be exciting, you know, to see what develops for you. So coming up, we're going to have, let's see here. Oh, on the 17th of July, we're going to have Paul Wheaton back.
Oh, boy.
He's going to talk about Wofati eco-building techniques.
Nice.
And another one that's coming up I want to mention is on July 29th, we have our Hawaiian Healing. The Kahuna Kale is coming back, and I'm excited about that. She's a good friend. So if you have any questions, please email me at asktallpaul@gmail.com. My website is asktallpaul.com or permaculturecentral.com. Joey's is fruittreeforest.com. And we also want to mention permaculturevoices.com, which is the very large permaculture conference with the cutting-edge leaders within permaculture next March in California. So everyone, if you can, please visit permaculturevoices.com to check that out. All right, Joey, thanks so much. And
you're welcome.
We'll see you all next week.
Have fun, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.